Luke chapter 2 is a chapter we're going to look at tonight. Luke chapter 2. This morning we were thinking about the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I will be using the word teaching in future for this message, because that's what doctrine is teaching. And we looked at the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The virgin birth is one of the most important doctrines in Scripture. Without the virgin birth, we wouldn't have the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how important that is, that we must always have it in our hearts. Doctrine is good to have in our hearts, but we just need to remember them as well. It's no good keeping them in our hearts if we don't think about them and speak about them. It's very important in our lives as Christians today. This morning we had a prophecy of the virgin birth, and we saw how Isaiah prophesied and how he said, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child." We read in Isaiah chapter 7, and it says in chapter 7 and verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And also in the verse 9, verse 6 of chapter 9, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Isaiah was prophesying, and we looked at the very first prophecy in the Scriptures in Genesis in chapter 3 verses 14 and 15, and that was given to Satan. And God said to Satan that he would bruise his head, that he would be defeated. "Yet thou, Satan, shall bruise his heel," which speaks of the sufferings of Christ. We look at the Old Testament and we see how those people, the Jewish people, were looking forward to the Messiah. They were looking forward to the Savior that was going to come to save them and to make a way back to God himself from the dark paths of sin. And here we have in Luke chapter 2, and this is what happened. A child was born. And tonight we're going to look at this great doctrine, this great teaching. And we'll look at it in four different parts, as what some preachers would say, 4 points. First one will be the preparation. The second one will be the birth. The third one will be the announcement. And the fourth one will be the witness. The preparation. Here we have Gabriel, the angel, archangel, high angel in heaven, coming to earth to make some announcements, to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. There was some had to be prepared. First of all was Zechariah. And we read of Zechariah in Luke chapter 1. And Zechariah, he was a priest. He was married to a woman called Elizabeth. They walked in righteousness before God. They loved God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. They were people of prayer. They prayed always to God. But there was one thing that was wrong with the both of them. They hadn't got any children. She was barren. And this was a prayer and desire of their hearts that they would have a man child. And you can just see them day after day praying to God that He would give them a man child. But then, you see, God didn't answer their prayer. You know, sometimes when we pray, we ask certain things from God. We'll pray for our families and our loved ones. We'll pray for our town. We'll pray for ourselves. We'll pray that God would revive us and do a mighty work. We'll pray that our church will be filled. But then there's no answer. And we wonder. And sometimes we get a kind of concern. But you see, God doesn't always answer prayer quickly. Sometimes He does. These people have waited years. And God hadn't answered their prayer. And how we must be patient when we bring our prayers and our desires before Almighty God. Here Zechariah was in the temple, and he was executing his work as a priest. There all of a sudden, there was an angel standing on the right side of the altar. There he was, Gabriel. And he says to Zechariah, "Zechariah, fear not. Fear not, thy prayers are heard." God in heaven heard Zechariah's prayer. Now it was going to be fulfilled. Elizabeth shall have a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And he was to prepare the way of the Lord. And then Zechariah, did he believe the angel? No, he had no faith. He doubted him. How can we have a child when we're so old and stricken in age? Gabriel struck him dumb, and he wasn't able to speak, even on to the birth of John. And then Gabriel also went to a woman in Nazareth called Mary. And Mary was a virgin. She was married. But you see, in those days in Bethlehem, they would have took the vows. She was espoused to a man called Joseph. And they were had the vows. And they were like man and wife. But they separated for 1 year. And they were away from each other. And here, the angel Gabriel visits Mary. And he comes in and he says, once again, fear not. Thou hast found favor with God. Here he is before Mary. And what a surprise she must have had, being visited by the angel. Thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And he shall be of the Most Highest. The Holy Ghost shall come upon me. He shall be called the Son of God. What an announcement. What a preparation that was for Mary. And also the angel said, thy cousin Elizabeth, she is also conceived. For with God nothing is impossible. Here he was. Prophecy was going to be fulfilled. The Savior was going to be born through the seed of a woman, through childbirth. And Mary would be called blessed, even from then onwards. What a great privilege it was for her. See, there's nothing impossible with God. Absolutely nothing. Sometimes we haven't got the faith to believe. But let me tell you, God can do all things. What did Mary do? Would you like Zachariah, undoubted God? No. She says, be it unto me according to thy word. Mary believed Gabriel the angel, the messenger from God. You know how good it is to believe in the will of God. When God speaks to us and tells us what to do, and we don't argue with God's will. But we will seek it and ask God to show it and to reveal it to us. Then Gabriel leaves Mary. And Mary, with great excitement and with great haste, well, what does she do? She goes to the hills to see where Elizabeth is with haste. You see, Elizabeth went and hid herself when she knew she was going to have a child. And as she went in to the home, and as she saluted Elizabeth, the babe in Elizabeth's womb leapt with joy as she spoke. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost and says, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Oh, how she was really blessed whenever she spoke to Mary as she came in. And Mary, she praises God. She gives all God all the glory. And what are her words? Her words were, and Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord. She gives praise to God. She didn't give praise to anyone else, not even herself. She was just an ordinary woman, an ordinary virgin. God used her. And then in the verse 47 of chapter 2, we read Mary saying these wonderful words, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. And that will look like God my Savior. Mary realized that she was a sinner. She knew that she was lost because of the fall of mankind. But she rejoiced in the Savior, even though it was going to be born, even from her own womb. Yes, the Lord blessed her. We can say the Lord has been blessed the Virgin Mary. Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months. And I'm sure those were 3 great months. What a great time of rejoicing and fellowship they had. Talking about what had happened to them over the past months. Also, the angel Gabriel spoke to someone else. He spoke in preparation for the birth of Christ to Joseph. And we read it in Matthew there earlier on. And how he came to Joseph through a dream. See, it was different from the other two. It was through a dream. You see, Joseph was wondering what he was going to do. Because he'd realized that his wife, Mary, was to have a child. And of course he wanted to put her away privily, because they loved each other. And he didn't want to be hard on her. And maybe you were thinking about divorce, because that's what happened in those days. Put her away privily. And I'm sure his whole thoughts and his whole heart, he didn't know what to do, where to go to. But then the angel visited him in that dream and says to him, "Fear not." There's a third "fear not." "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." That prophecy was to be fulfilled now. That prophecy we looked at it this morning is now going to be fulfilled. And how Joseph was wakened up from the dream and he took on to Mary, his wife, and looked after her. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall have child." That was the preparation. But what about the birth? We read in chapter 2 of Luke the account of the birth of Christ. Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem to be taxed. This was a law that was put into place, and everyone had to do it. And Joseph had to go, being of the house of David. He had to go to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And they traveled from Nazareth. And of course, Mary, his wife, was happy with a child. But you see, when you look down through this, what was happening in Bethlehem, it was through the tribe of Judah that the Lord Jesus Christ would come. We must always remember that. Right down through David, Judah, down to David, right through until Christ was born. And you can just see them coming into Bethlehem. And then it was time for the child to be delivered. And there he was delivered. He wasn't delivered in the room, in an inn, because they were all taken up because of the popularity at that time. And he was laid, and he was born. And the next thing that happened after he was born was he was wrapped in swaddling bands. That is to keep the limbs tight and firm. Now, as the bones grow, it keeps the body right. And as he was put into a manger, that was the two things that was mentioned in Scripture. You look at Scripture and find out for yourself. That's the only two things that was mentioned in the birth of Christ. There was nothing mentioned of stable or anywhere else. So we don't know what sort of a place it was in. Could have been out in the open. I do not know. And some people think that. But there are the only two points was he was in a manger and he had swaddling clothes. He was born just the same as any other baby was born. Mary has suffered just the same as any other mother suffered. There is no difference for her. The pain of childbirth, and it can be so difficult. And there we have both God and man. The only ones that were present was Mary and Joseph. I would say, because it says that they took him and bandaged him and put him in the manger. The prophecy of the virgin birth had been fulfilled. All down them years, what the people listened to the prophets, and it took place. A Messiah had come. A Savior would come into the world. And there he was as a wee baby, as a child, the Son of God, the one who came into the world to take away our sin. Then we have the announcement. There he was in the manger. Then all of a sudden, there was shepherds looking after the sheep. And I'm sure as they looked after the sheep, they were guarding them because of wild animals. And maybe also two-footed animals, because I'm sure rustling would have been something that people done them days as well as now. And right down through the years, people like to take other people's animals away from them. And there they were, everything seemed to be going well. And all of a sudden, there was an angel from heaven. And he comes with this great announcement. And he says, once again, he says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Here we have just these two things mentioned again. This was a sign. A babe wrapped up in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And all of a sudden, in heaven, there was a great multitude of angels. And here the angels came, and they started to speak. And they were saying, "Glory to God on the highest, goodwill towards men." The angels were speaking to the shepherds. And how wonderful that must have been. I don't think words could describe it. Just to be in the presence of the angels and them speaking and talking to them. How wonderful that was. Yes, that was the announcement. But then we look at the witness. It's very important. Not just for the announcement and the preparation and the birth, but the witness was important as well. There had to be a witness. And right through the scripture in the New Testament, when Christ was on earth, there had to be witnesses. And there were the 12 disciples. You could not have been a disciple of Christ, an apostle, unless you were with him at a baptism when John baptized him. Right through until the ascension of Christ into heaven. And here we have this witness. And what was the witness? There they were, the shepherds. After the angel went away, they said to each other, "What a wonderful thing that had happened to them. Let us go and see for ourselves." And they went and they saw before themselves. They went into Bethlehem. They looked for the manger and the babe wrapped up in swaddling clothes. And they found him. And there they worshipped unto the Lord and gave praise and glory to for the Savior. The shepherds were witnesses. They saw the Savior themselves with their own eyes. And what did they do? They went here, there, and yonder, and they spread it the word. It said, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went and told others about the Savior had come. The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born in Bethlehem. Oh, what a great witness. But there was also other witnesses. There were the wise men from the east. They followed the star to Jerusalem until it stopped where the young child was. And then when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding a great joy. The wise men went in and saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This was a witness of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful witness that was. There he was, in born. What a wonderful Savior that was. We think of another witness. It was Simeon. This was a short time afterwards, after the time of purification. There had to be a time of purification. And Mary and Joseph went up to Jerusalem. And as they went up into Jerusalem, that was the law. They would bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons and bring the sin offering. Mary had to do it just as any other woman who had a man child. And it was only certain days, just over a month. If it was a girl, it would have been double that. But you had to go for this purification to the temple. And this man, Simeon, was there. And he was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. He prayed and he fasted night and day. And the Lord revealed unto him that he shall not see death until he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Would not have been wonderful just the Holy Spirit to speak. You knew within yourself that you were going to see Christ before he died. And as he went into the temple, and there he just came in at the same time when Mary and Joseph was there, and he saw him, and he took the babe in his arms. And what did he say? For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. The Savior had come. He's in my arms at very moment. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. He came in to go and to die on the cross in Calvary. Shed his precious blood. Why would he do this? Because of our sin. Every one of us are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We're all heading to a lost eternity. But now the Savior had come. He would come to lighten the Gentiles and for bring glory to his people, Israel. That means everyone. He came to save those who called upon his name, those who realized that they were lost, perishing souls, and that Christ died for them on the cross in Calvary. That's how we can be saved. We must realize that we're lost, perishing sinners. We can't be saved if we don't realize that we're a sinner. We have to take that place. And to know, as we read the scriptures, that our Savior died on that cross in Calvary. And He shed His precious blood for me. And I have to come. That's whenever I realized I was a sinner. I had to look to heaven. I had to come like everyone else. I come and I confess my sins to Christ. I repented of them. Without repentance of sin, there is no remission. Repented of my sin. And you know, Christ saved me. The Holy Ghost entered in. And I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. I was born again of the Spirit of God. God had took this old gambler and drinker. Used to mix around with all sorts of people in the West End of London. Gangsters and all sorts. But now the Savior came and saved this poor old sinner. And how wonderful that was. Yes, we have to come and repent of our sin. Forsake our sin and start to follow the Lord in Jesus Christ. That's why Christ Jesus came into the world, to save sinners. He didn't come in to give people once a year a big party. That's not the reason for His coming in. He came in to save sinners. And if you're in this meeting tonight, as I look down, I don't know your hearts. If there's anyone or even listening to sermon audio, and if you're not saved, let me say, ask the Lord into your heart. Come and repent of your sin. Forsake your sin. And start to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally we'll look at another witness. Anna the prophetess, a lady that served God night and day with prayers and fastings. And she happened, well, it didn't happen. It was to be because she was chosen by God as a witness. She came into the temple and she worshipped the Lord when she saw Him. She knew who He was. What a meeting that would have been. And then we have the last witness that I'm going to speak about tonight. And that last witness is the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that Christ Jesus, born of a virgin, that Christ Jesus lived a sinless, spotless life. That this Lord Jesus went to the cross. He suffered more than any man ever suffered. He died. He was burning. Hallelujah, He rose again from the dead. This Savior is not on the cross, but He's up in heaven. And He's making intercession for His people, willing and able to save precious souls. Is all well with your soul tonight? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you traveling that narrow way at least to heaven and to home? I pray that you are. For one day, this baby that was born in Bethlehem's manger will come again for His people. Do pray that the Lord would bless these remarks to all of our hearts tonight.